Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, good morning and welcome to Next Level Church. I'm so excited to be here today and to dive into the Word. I always like to try to start things off on a positive note. And so I like to give a few shout outs. And first off, I want to give a shout out to those who serve in our military and especially to those who are watching online who are serving all around the world for our country. Would you help me thank them and welcome them today? I also want to give a special shout out to one of our owners at Next Level Church. We don't have members, we have owners. Members have rights, owners have responsibilities. That means that when this is your church, you look for ways to try to make it the best possible church it can be. And recently we had a family who lost the dad in the family, and one of their kids is in sixth grade, and he wasn't able to make it to students. And they live, on Wednesday nights we do students for 6th through 12th grade, and the family lives way down in Hampton. Some of you may make that drive. For those of us that don't, when you get to like Buck Row, you feel like you're going to another country. You're like, is this North Carolina? Like, it's way down there. And he left up in York County, drove down to that area to pick him up, and then brought him to students. And he's not a student leader. He just heard a need, and he said, no, I don't want you to miss. And he said, I can't go because I lost my ride. And so he said, I'll bring you every week to students. And so I want to give a shout out to him. Will you help me thank him? Well, today we're kicking off a brand new series entitled All About That Grace. Because you know I'm all about that grace. No devil, I'm all about that grace, about that grace. If you don't get that reference, that's okay. You may not like it, but your kids will love it. I really am all about that grace. I absolutely love grace. In fact, I've said that if I'm ever in a place to name another human being, I'm going to throw up there the top name that I want to name another human being is Grace. Now, at the age of 45, I hope I'm never in a place to name another human being. But if I am, I want to be able to throw up the name Grace, because it is such a powerful word, and I love grace. And in fact, grace is my favorite word in the entire Bible, and that's saying something, because the Bible gives us a lot of great words. Words like love, mercy, Boanerges. You didn't see that coming, did you? Boanerges is an amazing word, and it's more amazing the more you say it. I think it's hilarious. I think it's way more funny than anyone else. But the more I say it, the more I just laugh. And the more you hear about it, the more I just laugh. I've read through the entire Bible multiple times, but it wasn't until a few years ago that I was reading through the Bible and I got to Mark, and I see that Jesus gives two of his disciples a nickname. And I've known their nickname forever. Their nickname is the Sons of Thunder. But Mark tells us that in the Greek, it is Boanerges. And I burst out laughing. I was like, that's like Jesus, that these two guys have kind of a temper problem. They're like men's men, and he named them Boanerges. You guys don't think this is nearly as funny as I do. When I read it in the Bible, I was like, I don't even know how to pronounce this. So I went to Google to learn how to pronounce it, and when I did, it even became that much more funnier. Check this out.
How to pronounce Boanerges. 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 Boanerges.
The more you say it, the funnier it becomes. It's a great word. But I say that to you because grace is an incredible word. And there's so many great words in the Bible, but I would argue that grace is the greatest word. Now the question is, what does grace mean? And that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. That's grace. God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is truly amazing. It is life-changing. It is the thing that will bring you closer to God. It is the thing that will transform your life. Grace is absolutely amazing. But here's the struggle with grace. The longer that you are a Christian, the more you take grace for granted. And the truth of the matter is, you will never graduate from grace, ever. It's not like if you're a Christian for 30 years, you no longer need grace anymore. It's not long, like if you get to, you know, your 90s and you're like, man, I've lived a long life. I no longer need grace. No. You need grace every step of the way. You need grace for yesterday. You need grace for today. You need grace for tomorrow. Grace is absolutely amazing. And in the next 4 weeks, we're going to do a lot of talking about grace. We're going to define it. I'm going to give illustrations about it. I hope that you're inspired by some of the stories that I tell. But here's what I want to make sure that you hear on week number one. Learning about grace is different than experiencing God's grace. And you cannot fully understand grace until you experience it. You can't. And so I'm going to give you the definition of grace. We're going to talk about it. And some of you are going to be like, yeah, I've learned about this word grace. But it doesn't come alive until you experience it. It's kind of like this. If you've never been to the Grand Canyon, maybe you've heard people talk about the Grand Canyon. And when they talk about it, you're just like, oh, wow, that sounds amazing. That sounds great. And in head knowledge, you can say, I can understand what they're saying, that the Grand Canyon is a beautiful place. But it's very different when you go and you stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you take it in. Hearing about it and experiencing it are two totally different things. Or if you're a parent, maybe you can relate to this. Before you had kids, you heard other parents talk about the amazing joy of having a kid of your own and just these feelings that they had. And you can understand those words. You can understand what they say. But it's not until you experience it yourself and you have a kid yourself that you're like, oh man, that's what they were talking about. Some things in life, you can hear about them, you can learn about them, but it doesn't change you until you experience it. And that's the case with grace. You cannot fully understand grace until you experience it. And so my prayer for every single one of you, no matter if you're new to the church scene or you've been a Christian for a long time, my prayer is that you would experience grace. My prayer is that you would be changed by grace. My prayer is that as you leave this service and you go on to your day, that it's not just like, oh yeah, it was a pretty good sermon, and I learned about Boanerges, that was funny. My prayer is that you walk out of here transformed because of the grace of God. And I want to make sure that you hear this, and I'm saying this with as much love as I possibly can say. There are way too many Christians who have been around grace but have never experienced grace. And maybe you grew up in the church, maybe you've heard about it, maybe you kind of understand what the word is, but I'm telling you, if your relationship with God is stale and stagnant, it's because you've taken your eyes off of grace. If you don't have a desire for God, if you don't want to spend time with him, if you're feeling like, just kind of ho-hum, it is because you've taken your eyes off of grace. Grace is absolutely amazing, and it will change your life. And our text for today is going to point this out. It is written by the Apostle Paul, and Paul is known as the Apostle of Grace. Grace is mentioned 131 times in the Bible. 124 of those times are found in the New Testament, and Paul uses the word grace 86 times. So 66% of the times that grace is mentioned in the Bible, it's coming from the Apostle Paul. So he is the Apostle of Grace. He's the champion of grace. Excuse me. He's the one that teaches us about grace, helps us understand what grace is. And he writes a letter to the Christians living in an area called Galatia. Now, Paul was a missionary and a church planter. And I planted this church 12 years ago. It is a very difficult thing to do, to start something from scratch. Paul's strategy was just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Because Paul would go into an area, he would teach people about Jesus. Those that would become Christians, he would say, okay, now you guys are a church. And then he would leave. Literally leave. He would go on another missionary journey, or he would get persecuted and he would run away. And then as he's away, he would get word on how the church is doing. And most of the time, the church wasn't doing very good because their pastor left. They went somewhere else. And so he writes them these letters, and he's like, what in the world are y'all doing? You took your eye off the prize. Like, what's happening with you? And Galatians is one of those letters that is written to multiple churches in the area of Galatia. They would actually share this letter. They would share Paul's letter and spread it around to different people. And thankfully, they wrote it down and they took a copy of it, and it's been preserved for us to have today. And today, what we're going to do is we are going to feast on the Word of God. I want to prep you ahead of time and just know we are going to read a lot of Scripture. And some of you, when I say feast, you know what that means. Some of you have big appetites like me. Some of you have a small appetite. You eat like a bird. Like you smell food and you're like, oh, I'm so full. I can't get on board with that. Like, I in my small group, we have a couple guys that every week, we have like food, like real food, not just like a little snack. It's like a food before our group. And there's a couple guys in my group that pregame our food by eating dinner before they come, and they still eat. And I don't know how they do it because they're skinny, but I'm like, I respect it. I love it. I love that you have an appetite that you want to feast. And that's what we're going to do now. We are going to feast on the scriptures, and there's a lot of them. So I want to ask you, you buckle up, take some notes, and get ready. This is how Paul starts off his letter to the Christians living in Galatia. Galatians 1, 2 through 5. To the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So right off the bat, I hope that you notice that Paul starts his letter off by using that word, grace. This is where context really matters. The scriptures were not written about us, and they were not written in America 2024. And so you need to ask yourself, okay, what does Paul mean by this? And if you do just a little bit of research, the scriptures start to come to life. Paul's greeting is a typical greeting that he starts off almost all his letters with, grace and peace to you from God. That word grace was used as a common way to greet one another if you were in the Greek-speaking world. So if you weren't Jewish, if you weren't from the Jewish background, and you lived in Paul's day and age, and you would walk by someone, you would say, grace. And they would reply, grace to you. Similar to how we would say, hey, how you doing? They would say, grace. It was a formal greeting. And so grace is Paul's way of saying, I want to speak to those that are Greek. I want to speak to those that don't have maybe a church background. I want to welcome you into this letter. He then uses the word peace. And peace is the general greeting for those in the Jewish community. In fact, if you ever get a chance to visit Jerusalem today or Israel today, you will see that the Jewish people will say shalom. It's the word we translate to peace. So Paul uses both of these. He speaks to both people. And it's as though Paul was saying, to those of you who are Greeks, I greet you with grace and favor. And to those of you who are Jews, I greet you with peace and shalom. Paul intentionally talks to two different groups of people. One scholar said that by using both terms, grace and peace, the doors were thrown open for the whole world to read Paul's letters. Because Paul wasn't alienating one group. He was saying, hey, listen, if you're not from a church background, if you're from a Greek background, this idea that I'm about to teach you about grace, it's for you. But if you're religious and you grew up in the church and you think you know it all, this idea of grace, it's also for you. It's for everyone. Now, I love that Paul addresses two groups of people because this is something that we try to do as a church. On Sunday mornings, we intentionally try to speak to two different groups of people every single week. We call it spiritually bilingual. I don't know another church that does this. What spiritually bilingual means is that we are very intentional about speaking to those who are Christians. And if you're a Christian, I hope that you feel challenged. I hope you feel inspired. I hope that you learn about the Word of God and it helps you grow in your faith. At the exact same time, we understand that every single week is someone's first time at Next Level Church. And they did not grow up in church. And they don't know who Paul is. So every single week, we do our best to explain the details of it. There is two different groups. We speak two different languages, just like Paul did. Paul said grace, and he said peace. We do the exact same thing. We are spiritually bilingual. And that's why, as a church, we do some things that may not be your cup of tea. We do some things that hopefully you like, hopefully you get on board with it, but we do some intentional things in our services to help be a draw to those who don't go to church or don't typically go to church. Like, for example, every single summer, we do a movie series. And the movie series, literally about 10 to 15 minutes of my sermon is movie clips. I never know how to feel when people come up to me afterwards and said, I like this a lot better than when you normally preach. I'm like, cool, thanks, appreciate it. But we show movie clips in church, and multiple times over our 12-year history, we've had Christians who have gotten offended by that. And I just want to make sure that you hear this. When we show movie clips, and when we tell stories, and when we do the crazy costume days that we do, it may not be your cup of tea, but guess what? It's not for you. It's for your friends and family that don't know God. And I hope that you will enjoy them. I hope that you'll get something out of it. I hope that you say, I'm not going that week because I don't really like this. I hope you'll still attend and be there. But I want you to know, we do that so you can have an easy invite to say, hey friend, hey neighbor, hey coworker, our church is doing this thing and it's kind of crazy and it's fun and you'll enjoy it. Will you come and see what's happening at my church? We do it to try to help make it an easy invite. And that's the same thing that Paul did at the very beginning of his letter. So he gives this typical greeting, and then he just jumps in. You ever been in a meeting with someone who starts off kind of casual? Hey, how you doing? And then just boom, jumps into it. That's what Paul does. He starts off with a little bit of sugar, and then he's just like, boom, here it is. Look at what Paul says next in Galatians 1:6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. So Paul's like, hey, how's it going? Good, good. I'm glad you're doing good. What is wrong with you? Like, I left you for 5 minutes and you abandoned the gospel of grace. When I met you, I taught you the gospel of grace, and that's what caused you to become followers of Jesus. But now since I've left, you are abandoning the gospel of grace and you're turning to a different gospel. Gospel is a churchy word. It's a word that you find in the Bible, and it literally means good news. But to help us understand what it specifically means, here's a definition of gospel. We are spiritually dead without Jesus, but because of God's grace, we are made spiritually alive through his death, burial, and resurrection. The scriptures teach that without Jesus, you are spiritually dead. How do you revive yourself if you're dead? You don't. You can't will yourself to be more like God. You can't motivate yourself to be more like God. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. But because of God's grace, he gives you this gift of salvation. He sent his son to die for you so that you could come alive spiritually. That is the grace of God, and that is the gospel. And the church of Galatia became Christians because they heard this gospel. They were pagans. They believed a whole bunch of different crazy things. And then Paul teaches them the gospel of grace. And they say, yep, I'm on board with that. I believe that. And they become Christians. And Paul says, since I've left you, you've started adding on to this gospel. Someone's been teaching you that grace is not enough. Someone's been teaching you that you need something else. And Paul says, no, 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 I want to make sure that you hear this. It's grace, period. It's not grace plus a bunch of other things. It's grace. The gospel is a gospel of grace. Now, if you didn't grow up in church, you actually have an advantage to those of us that did. Because you get to hear this message fresh, and you get to hear, okay, this is what it means to be a Christian, and this is the gospel. Paul says there's no other gospel but the gospel of grace. Some of you grew up in church. And the truth is your church probably had well-meaning and they probably didn't intend to do anything wrong. But the truth is that since Paul's day and age, 2,000 years ago, we've added a whole bunch of things to the gospel. And some of us, you may be a Christian, but you need to do some unlearning. Because you've learned some things and you think this is what it means to be a Christian and this is what it means to follow God. And Paul would say, hey, listen, if you think it means anything else but the grace of God, you've added to it. And it's a false gospel. Now, in Galatia, there were some Christians who Paul calls Judaizers. And they were Jewish people of the faith who became Christians. And they come into the church of Galatia, and they start telling these Christians that they need to add things to their faith. They're like, oh, what did Paul teach you? Oh, it's the grace of God? That's great, but have you heard about this? You also need to do this good work. And you also need to practice this custom. And you also need to dress this way. And you also need to do this. And they were adding all these things to the faith. In fact, they were making it a prerequisite to be a Christian. They were telling these Christians in Galatia, you're not really saved unless you've also done this. Now, the big subject that was in their day and age was this idea of circumcision, which that's not something on our radar. We're not arguing about that. We're not fighting about that in churches. But in their day and age, these Judaizers were saying, this is the big thing. You cannot love Jesus unless you've also been circumcised. And if you want to see spicy Paul, read Galatians chapter 5. Because Paul comes at them. I won't repeat it here in church. Just read it for yourself. He literally comes at them and he's like, you're trying to add this? Let me tell you what I wish would happen to you. And the reason that Paul is spicy is because he understands that if you add anything to the gospel of grace, it is a false gospel. It is not God, grace, plus works. It's not, oh, I received the grace of God, but you know what? I also need to do good things for God in order to get him to like me. No, no, no. It's the gospel of grace. Let's keep reading and see what Paul says next. He's about to go off on him. Galatians 1, 7 through 9. Not that there is another one. Another what? Another gospel. There's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. It's the gospel of grace. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Paul's not playing around. Paul says grace is such a big deal that I don't care if an angel from heaven comes down to you. If an angel from heaven comes down and tells you that your salvation is based on something other than grace, then that angel is accursed. I don't care if this preacher is someone you like. I don't care if he has success. I don't care who says it. If it comes with anything but grace, it is a false gospel and they should be accursed. Paul's implication is that false teachers cannot show you the way to salvation because they do not have it themselves. They are condemned. Please hear me on this. This is not coming from me. This is not my opinion. This is what Paul is teaching. And way too many Christians, after you've been a Christian for a little while, you kind of take for granted grace. And you start to think that, oh, it's good works that I need. And good works, man, they happen, but they happen because of the grace of God. And way too many people are trying to add things to the gospel. You know what you need? You need to clean up your life. And if you get this fixed, then God will accept you. That's not the gospel of grace. Another perverted gospel is the prosperity gospel. And I know that a lot of you don't follow churches like I do, and so maybe you're not familiar with the prosperity gospel. But once I tell you what this is, you'll start to see it creeps up all over the place. In fact, it creeps up even in places that aren't intentionally trying to teach the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is this idea that if you get saved, if you have Jesus in your life, and you believe in him, then he will bless you, specifically with health and wealth. So it's a prosperity gospel. They've added to the gospel. So it's this idea that if you want good health, you know what you need to do? You need to give financially to the church. Oh, you're struggling in your relationships? You know what'll fix that? Give money. You want to be blessed in your life? Give money. And what that's saying is that your salvation and God's favor is based off what you do. And Paul would say, let that be accursed. That is not the gospel. We do not give to try to get God's favor. We have God's favor. And we know that because of what Jesus did for us. The reason a Christian gives is not out of obligation, but out of what God's already done in their life. I want to give back because I've received the grace of God. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve his favor. So when I get a little extra $100, I'm like, thank you, God. I want to give some of this back to you because I didn't deserve this. It's a gift. And I don't ever give, and I don't want you to ever give to a church because you think that God's going to bless you more. When you build your salvation on that, what happens is when tragedy hits you, you start to question God. And you say, God, I didn't sign up for this. I thought if I gave a little bit financially and if I attended church regularly, then you would protect me from going through harm. That's not the gospel. Every single one of us is going to go through difficulties. And God does not promise you that if you give a little bit more, you'll be protected. What God does promise you is that through every circumstance, you will have the grace of God. It is the grace of God that will sustain you through every circumstance. So Paul is incredibly clear that if you add anything to this gospel, it is a perverted gospel. And let's see what Paul says next. Galatians 1, 11 through 12. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying is that what he is preaching is not coming from his own opinion. It's not man's gospel. What Paul is preaching, he heard directly from Jesus, that Jesus delivered this. So if you have an issue with the gospel of grace, you don't have an issue with Paul, you ultimately have an issue with Jesus. And Paul says, hey, here's the thing. When man gets a hold of the gospel, it gets distorted because man loves to add things to the gospel. But Jesus made it really clear. It's the gospel of grace, period. It's not the gospel of grace plus a bunch of other things. This is why I hate it when I hear people say, I am a fill-in-the-blank Christian. And I primarily see this online, where I'll see someone introduce themselves, and they'll say things like, I'm a progressive Christian. I'm a conservative Christian. I'm a feminist Christian. I'm an American Christian. I'm a cool Christian. I'm a reform Christian. I'm a gay Christian. I'm a cowboy Christian. We throw all these words on top of Christianity, and what we do is we dilute the message of Christianity. Christian is a noun. The role of an adjective is to modify the noun. As soon as you put something before Christian, you are saying that that area of your life is off limits. And I can't touch this area. That this comes first. This is my identity. This is who I am. And then I'm going to tag Jesus onto it. Then I'm going to tag Christianity onto it. You are adding to the gospel. And the problem is when you add to the gospel, you dilute it. And Paul says you pervert it. It becomes something that loses its power. The gospel says, no. You are saved by faith through grace alone. And it's not based off your work so that no one can boast. Let's keep going. Paul says in Galatians 1:13 through 17, for you've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal a son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. I am convinced that this verse is why Paul loves grace so much. Now, if you grew up in church, then you're probably not surprised by what happened with Paul. In fact, you're probably so used to it that the shock value has worn off. But if you didn't grow up in church, what you need to know is that the transformation that happens in Paul's life, it is one of the biggest plot twists in the history of the world. Like, it's up there with, like, Darth Vader saying, Luke, I am your father. It is a massive plot twist. Paul is literally on his way to persecute and kill Christians when Jesus appears to him in a vision and says, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus calls Paul from crucifying, from killing, from arresting Christians, and he calls him to follow Jesus, and then Paul goes from persecuting Christians to leading Christians. This is a radical transformation. In fact, when you first see Paul's transformation and he comes around Christians, they're like, oh, aren't you the guy that's been killing people? I don't know if I want to hear what you have to say. Maybe this is a trap. But Paul proved it wasn't a trap. His life was radically transformed, and he did not deserve it. And this is why he is so passionate about the grace of God. I saw this image, and I think it is so profound, and I hope it'll resonate with you. The Apostle Paul entered heaven to the cheers of those he martyred. Let me put this in perspective for you just a second. We focus so much on the good things that Paul did after he got saved that we forget that he actually killed people, Christians. And when Paul gets into heaven, there are those who greet him who are like, you took me out way too early. I didn't get to go to my son's graduation because you killed me. I didn't get to walk my daughter down the aisle because you killed me. I didn't get to celebrate with my family because you killed me. You took me out earlier than when I was supposed to go, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to heaven. That is the grace of God. The grace of God that takes someone that is an enemy and turns them into a leader of the faith. The Apostle Paul entered heaven to cheers of those he martyred. That's how the gospel works. Now, I know it's been a little while since I started this sermon, but do you remember how this thing began? I gave you a phrase, you cannot fully understand grace until you experience it. And I think the reason that Paul is so passionate about it is because he experienced grace. He didn't just hear about it. He didn't just hear a sermon and nod his head. He experienced it. He went from knowing I'm an enemy of God to, man, God wants to use me. He went from saying, I have no business being in the church, to saying, I'm going to stand on a stage and teach others how to follow Jesus. I don't deserve that. One of my favorite stories to tell about Next Level is a life change story that happened Our church is 12 years old, and I've told this story before, but I think it's one of my favorites. And I won't embarrass the person by saying the name, but I'll just tell you the backstory of it. Years ago, someone who was unchurched, who didn't go to church, was invited to come to Next Level Church by someone that doesn't even live in our state. And it was a friend of hers that kept saying, hey, you should check out this church, you need to go to this church. And she kept telling her she would check it out at some point. Well, finally one week she shows up to church, and I'll never forget it, because after the sermon she says, hey, can we take a selfie? I want to prove to my friend that I was actually here today. And I was like, yeah, we can take a selfie. And so she sends it to her friend. She didn't just come one week, she kept coming. And after a year of being at church almost every week, she made a decision to follow Jesus, and she decided to go public and get baptized. Now, what's really cool about, it's always cool. I love baptisms. I love life change stories. But what's really cool is that when you come from not being a part of the church, you have a lot of friends that aren't in the church. And the day of her baptism, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like 15, 20 people came to celebrate with her and to watch this moment in her life. And I met a lot of them after the service, and they kept saying the same thing to me. I was scared to walk in today because I thought the roof was going to collapse on me. I didn't think I could come in today because I was scared the roof is going to collapse on me. And I told her I didn't know if I wanted to walk in, or if I didn't want to sit through the sermon because I was afraid the roof is going to collapse on me. Can I tell you why the roof doesn't collapse? It's because grace holds up the ceiling. And the truth of the matter is if you don't understand grace, you will think that you deserve to sit where you're sitting right now. But when you understand grace, you understand, I don't deserve to walk in the door. I'm not saved because I'm a good person. I'm not saved because I'm a preacher. I'm not saved because I live in America. I am dead in my sins, separated from God. You are dead in your sins, separated from God. But because God loves you so much, He wants a relationship with you. And He gives you this gift of salvation. That is grace. So we are a church that will talk about sin. And I'll share what the Bible says. And I will share, even when it's uncomfortable, we will talk about sin. And it's not to shame people. It's so that people understand that we're all messed up. We all have our sins. We all have our imperfections. Every single one of us does. God doesn't save good people. There are no good people. We all have fallen short of God's standards. We all deserve the roof to collapse on us. But grace. Because of grace, anyone is welcome in church. I don't care if you're a pagan and you're going to fry like bacon. Grace says you're welcome. I don't care if you have a past. I don't care if you have secret sins that you think no one knows about. You are welcome because of grace. I don't care if you've been a Pharisee and you're full of pride and you think that you are better than other people. You are welcome here because of the grace of God. I don't care if you have an addiction. I don't care if you smoke beer and drink cigarettes. You are welcome here because of the grace of God. I don't care if you have a past. I don't care if you don't even fully believe in God. You're welcome here because of the grace of God. I don't care if you have same-sex attraction. I don't care if you've been divorced. I don't care if you have a past that you think disqualifies you from being in the presence of God. I want you to know you're in good company because all of us are in that same boat. But grace. It is grace. It is grace that changes us. It is grace that saves us. It is God's grace, and it is amazing. And Paul believed in grace so much because it changed his life. What God has done for you is so much greater than what you can do for yourself. And that's grace. You see, in America, we've been taught that we need to save ourselves. We need to just work a little bit harder, just put a little bit more effort in. And so much of that American workism, it's great. I love it. I think we should work hard. But so much of that has diluted the gospel of grace. That we think, oh, the answer to my addiction is I just need to work harder. And we think the answer to my marriage is I just need to work harder and I just need to put in some more effort and more time. And Paul was saying, no. What you need is grace. Are you feeling a hunger for God? If you say no, you know what you need? Grace. You don't need to be beat up. You don't need to be shamed. You need the grace of God, because when you have the grace of God, you can't wait to get into the presence of God. Is your marriage struggling? Are you fighting with each other? You know what you both need? Grace. Is there something you're struggling with that you say, I just can't beat this? No matter how much I've tried to overcome it, I've tried to do everything I can in my own strength, and I can't do it, and I'm just feeling hopeless. Guess what the answer is? Grace. It is grace. It is the grace of God doing what you cannot do on your own. And that, my friends, is why I'm all about that grace. Would you pray with me? I ask that everyone bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want to speak just for a second for those who would say you've never received the gospel of grace. Maybe you've been around it. Maybe you have heard about it, but you've never actually invited it into your life. I want to give you a chance just to do that. I want to ask that you just repeat this prayer quietly, just in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud, just in your heart. If you're ready, if God's knocking on the door of your heart and saying, hey, this message was for you, would you just pray this prayer quietly? Repeat after me. God, I admit that I've fallen short of your standards. I admit that I've sinned. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you don't judge me based off my performance. God, I welcome you into my life. I ask you to help me to understand the gospel of grace. And I ask you to help me to live for you all the days of my life. With every head still bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, we want to celebrate with you. We don't want to embarrass you, but we want to help you know what your next steps are and walk alongside of you and help you know what it means to live for Jesus. And so if you said that prayer, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking around. And our ushers have a card they want to give you. You can fill it out and just place it in the drop box. And just keep your hand up for a few seconds so our ushers see you. Raise it up a little bit higher just in case they can't see your hand. But if you would, just keep your hand up. We'll get a card to you. For everyone else, I just want to pray over you. God, I just ask right now that you would help us to be people of grace. God, some of us have some unlearning to do. And we've thought that this whole thing is based off our effort or because we're good. And God, we're not. And so I ask that you would give us the grace that we need. I ask that you would transform us, that you would forgive us, that you would help us to be overwhelmed with your grace. And I ask that you'd help us to leave here different than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.